This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine for a second, right, that you just spent, I don't know, millions of dollars building the absolute ultimate flagship store for your business.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the dream scenario.
Right, the absolute dream. We are talking imported Italian marble floors, perfectly curated lighting, the most persuasive sales copy on every single display.
Just a total visual masterpiece.
Exactly, a masterpiece. And you've got the absolute best products in your industry sitting on the shelves. But you made one fatal mistake.
Uh-oh. I know where this is going.
Yeah. You spent your entire budget, every last cent, on the aesthetics, and you completely forgot to build a front door.
Oh, man. That is brutal.
It gets worse. You didn't even register the address with the city. So, like, no roads actually lead to your building at all.
So you've essentially built this incredible monument that, well, literally no one will ever visit.
Right. You have this beautiful, highly expensive asset, and it is completely invisible to buyers.
It's a nightmare. And the wild thing is, while you would probably never, ever make that mistake with a physical brick and mortar store, right?
Obviously not.
But the reality of 2026 is that a shocking number of businesses are making that exact mistake with their digital storefronts.
Yes, exactly. You might have a beautifully designed, highly expensive website that is literally invisible to the entities that actually drive traffic today.
Because, you know, those entities aren't just human beings browsing a visual interface anymore. The gatekeepers between your business and your customers have fundamentally changed.
They really have.
And, spoiler alert, they do not care about your imported marble floors.
They do not care at all. And that is the core of our deep dive today. We are looking at a piece by Janice Ramos from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Really great piece, by the way.
It is. It's titled, "The Part of Your Website That Google Cares About Most." And you're probably ignoring.
Okay.
So our mission here, for you listening, is to move right past the aesthetic design.
Right. The pretty colors, the logos, all of that.
Yeah. The branding. We want to uncover the hidden technical foundation that modern AI answer engines actually care about. We are looking at the invisible machine under the hood.
I love that framing. The invisible machine.
So the article kicks off by identifying what Ramos calls the aesthetic trap. And honestly, I think a lot of us fall into this without even realizing it.
What's fascinating here is just how easy it is to fall into. Because as a business owner or, you know, a marketing director, your default is human perception.
Right. You want it to look good to people.
Exactly. You want your digital presence to look prestigious to the human eye. So you invest heavily in, like, professional photography.
Oh, yeah. Thousands on headshots alone.
Right. And you polish your copywriting, you obsess over brand colors and white space. You just want it to feel premium.
And when you, as a human, load up that URL on your laptop, you are impressed. I mean, you see a masterpiece.
But the source highlights this really terrifying disconnect. While you see that masterpiece, Google's crawlers and the newer AI bots, well, they're seeing what the author describes as a disorganized basement.
A disorganized basement? That paints quite a picture.
Doesn't it? We have to remember how data is actually consumed in 2026. An AI engine does not read your site like a glossy magazine.
It doesn't care about your white space.
No, it doesn't even see the white space. It parses your site like a raw database.
Okay, so it's just looking at the raw code.
Exactly. If your technical foundation, like the actual code architecture organizing your data, if that is fractured or confusing, the engine simply cannot understand what it's looking at.
It just sees clutter.
Yeah. Literally a basement full of unlabeled boxes.
Wow. Okay, so if the bots just see clutter, the article says it leads to this phenomenon called indexing drift.
Yes. Indexing drift.
What does that actually look like in practice? Because it sounds like something that happens slowly, maybe even invisibly, until it's just too late.
That is exactly how it happens. It's so insidious. Indexing drift is when your high-quality content, you know, the expensive research reports or articles you paid experts to write, it slowly becomes invisible to the bots.
And consequently, invisible to your buyers.
Right. The search index essentially just drops your pages over time.
But why? If the content is good, why drop it?
Because the bots can't figure out how to categorize the information. If the internal linking is broken, or if the data isn't explicitly defined in the code, the engine isn't going to waste its computational power trying to solve the puzzle of your website.
It's not going to do the heavy lifting for you.
Exactly. It just drifts away from you and moves on to the next site.
And the financial cost of that drift is staggering. I mean, Ramos points out that you might be spending, say, $15,000 a month on marketing or running campaigns, driving brand awareness.
Which is a very common budget.
Right. But if your technical foundation is a disorganized basement, that 15 grand is not an investment. The article literally refers to it as a donation to your competitors.
Ouch. A donation. But think about the mechanics of that for a second. Mm. You spend the money on an ad, right?
Yep.
A potential customer sees the ad, they remember your brand, and then later they use an answer engine like ChatGPT or Google's AI Overview to search for your specific service.
Makes sense. That's how people search now.
But because your site suffers from indexing drift and the AI can't parse your data, the engine doesn't cite you.
Wait, so who does it cite?
It cites your competitor. The one whose back end is perfectly optimized.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You paid for the initial awareness, but your competitor's technical SEO captured the actual lead.
That is a painful realization.
Right.
I mean, it really forces you to stop viewing your website as this like interactive brochure and start treating it as a literal financial asset.
Exactly. It's an operational system.
A system that clearly requires a complete paradigm shift because the strategies from even just a few years ago are entirely obsolete today.
Entirely. We're playing a completely different game now.
Okay, let's get into that shift. Because the article draws a hard line between the past and present. If we are looking at 2026, we're talking about answer engine optimization rather than just traditional search engine optimization.
Yes, AEO instead of SEO.
Right. We aren't just trying to get a blue link on a page of 10 results anymore.
Precisely. In the past, you know, legacy SEO, the goal was raw traffic volume, just getting a click. And bots were relatively simple back then.
Yeah, they were just scanning for keywords.
Right. But today, the ultimate metric of success isn't just a spike in page views tracked by basic Google Analytics. It is being cited as the preferred answer by an AI.
The preferred answer? That's a huge distinction.
It's everything. Platforms like ChatGPT are processing astronomical amounts of information to generate a single definitive answer for a user. You want to own that lead flow.
Okay, wait. I need to push back on this for a second.
Sure, go for it.
Hasn't content is king always been the rule? Let's say I write a terrible, completely unhelpful article, but my backend code is flawless. It is technically perfect.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Right. Is an AI going to cite my garbage article over a brilliant, highly informative piece from a competitor who just happens to have a slightly slower, messier website?
That's a really great distinction to make. And the short answer is no. An AI is not going to cite a terrible piece of content just because the code is clean.
Okay, good. Because that would seem completely counterintuitive to how these AI models are trained.
Exactly. They are trained to find the best information. Think of it this way. Content is the payload, but technical SEO is the delivery system.
Ah, okay. The payload and the delivery system. Now,
the issue the article highlights is what's being called the AI slump. Businesses with genuinely great content are seeing their traffic drop off a cliff because the engines have become highly, highly selective gatekeepers.
Selective because it costs them money to process bad code? Like literally computational costs.
Exactly. Large language models require massive amounts of compute. If an AI bot has to struggle through a labyrinth of broken code, slow load times, and poor site structure just to extract your brilliant article,
it's just going to bail.
It simply won't do it. It skips you. It will find a competitor whose content is also very good, but whose data is effortlessly accessible.
Wow.
So to answer your question, content quality absolutely still matters. But if your delivery system is broken, your payload never reaches the target.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So we know the bots are parsing the site like a database. We know we have to make their job as computationally easy as possible to avoid this AI slump.
Exactly. Low friction is the name of the game.
Let's get into the mechanics of how we actually do that. The source outlines three critical pillars of 2026 technical SEO. And the first one is semantic entity mapping, which relies on schema markup.
Yes, schema markup. So crucial.
I know we're trying to move away from the aesthetic, but how does this actually function under the hood? Like, what does semantic entity mapping look like to a machine?
To really understand this, you have to think about how large language models actually store information. They use vector databases, right? Breaking concepts down into relationships. When an AI crawler hits a standard page of text, it has to infer context. It basically has to guess.
Guess what you're talking about based on the words.
Right. But semantic entity mapping removes all that guesswork by using structured data. It's usually a hidden script called JSON-LD that sits in the background of your site.
Wait, so it's not text the human user ever sees?
Correct. It is totally hidden from the human eye. It is code explicitly written for the machine. You are essentially handing the AI a perfectly formatted, machine-readable ID card.
An ID card, I like that.
Yeah. Instead of hoping the bot scans your About Us paragraph and correctly infers that you are, say, a B2B SaaS company based in Austin, Texas.
Right, hoping it connects those dots.
Exactly. Your schema markup explicitly declares those data points as facts. It feeds directly into the AI's database.
Oh, wow.
You are proving your identity, your expertise, and your exact offerings in the native language of the machine.
You are basically spoon-feeding the AI the exact context it needs so it doesn't have to burn compute trying to figure you out.
Exactly. You become a reliable, low-friction source of truth. And engines love low friction.
Which brings up the second pillar, which is also heavily tied to friction. Core Web Vitals, and specifically a metric called Interaction to Next Paint, or INP.
Ah, INP. This one catches so many people off guard.
Well, their article points out that a micro delay of just 500 milliseconds can be the difference between a conversion and a bounce. But, I mean, why does an AI answer engine care so much about half a second of human wait time? The bot itself processes things instantly.
The bot processes it instantly, sure, but it is evaluating the user's experience.
Oh, I see.
Right. If an AI engine cites your website as the definitive preferred answer and provides a link to your site, that engine is staking its own reputation on your quality.
It's like a recommendation. Hey, user, go here.
Precisely. And the interaction to next paint measures how quickly a page visually responds when a user interacts with it. Like when they click a button or open a menu.
So it's not just how fast the page loads initially, it's how fast it reacts once you're actually using it.
Right. If a user clicks a link provided by an AI, and your site's buttons are sluggish or unresponsive for even half a second, the user gets frustrated.
We've all been there, tapping the phone screen 5 times.
Exactly. And the AI engine registers that poor experience. It realizes that sending users to your site makes the AI look bad.
Because the AI recommended a clunky site.
Exactly. So to protect its own reputation, the engine will deprioritize you. And it doesn't matter how good your content or your schema markup is. If the INP is bad, you're out.
Okay, so let's say my site is lightning fast, it reacts instantly, and I have given the bot a perfect schema ID card so it knows exactly who I am.
That's like a great setup.
Does that guarantee I'm going to be cited? Because the third pillar suggests there is still a massive bottleneck, and that is crawl efficiency.
Yes, crawl efficiency.
And this revolves around something called a crawl budget. I'll be honest, this sounds incredibly frustrating for a business owner who just wants their new pages to be seen.
It is arguably the most frustrating hidden bottleneck in technical SEO today.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because you have to imagine Google, or an AI crawler, as a highly scheduled building inspector.
That's a great analogy.
Right. When they arrive at your website, they do not have unlimited time. They allocate a strict crawl budget to your domain, like a specific amount of time or number of pages they're willing to process before they just pack up and leave.
Precisely. So if you make that inspector walk through a maze of dead ends, broken links, redirect loops, you know, duplicate pages.
It's just burning their time.
You are totally wasting their allocated time. By the time they finally get close to the core architecture where your newest, most vital content is actually stored, their timer runs out.
And they leave.
They leave.
So that brand new service page you just launched or that really expensive research report you just published, it just never gets indexed.
Nope.
It doesn't exist to the search engines, which means it doesn't exist to the public.
And the scary part is you won't even know what's happening unless you are actively monitoring your crawl efficiency. You'll just sit there and wonder why your new campaign is generating zero organic traction.
Wow.
But when you optimize these three pillars together, when your schema is explicitly mapped, your INP is instant, and your crawl architecture lets the bot see everything immediately, your website literally transforms.
It stops being a passive brochure.
Exactly. It becomes an active, automated data feed for these AI engines.
Okay, so we've diagnosed the aesthetic trap, we understand the AI snump, and we see how schema, INP, and crawl budget operate mechanically.
Right.
But how do we actually fix a site that's suffering from these invisible issues? The source material gets into the cure here, and it challenges the way a lot of people think about website maintenance.
Oh, big time. The core insight here is that technical SEO is not a one-time setup.
This is where so many companies fail, right? They view technical SEO as something you do during a website redesign, and then they don't look at it again for like 3 years.
Which is crazy, because modern websites are incredibly dynamic, fragile ecosystems. The only way to maintain that system is through a comprehensive technical SEO audit.
Basically lifting the hood and taking a flashlight into that disorganized basement.
Exactly.
But the frequency Ramos recommends is what really stood out to me. The article states that if you are looking to scale your system, you need a high-level technical audit at least quarterly.
Quarterly?
Quarterly. That feels like a lot of heavy lifting. What exactly is breaking every 3 months that requires that level of scrutiny?
Well, just think about the day-to-day operations of a scaling business. Hmm. Your marketing manager installs a new WordPress plugin to add, I don't know, a pop-up banner.
Okay, pretty standard.
Right. Your content team uploads 20 new blog posts, maybe inadvertently creating duplicate category tags. Your web developer updates a background script.
Lots of moving parts.
Exactly. And any single one of those routine actions can accidentally generate a snippet of code that blocks an AI crawler.
Wait, really? So a simple marketing plugin could accidentally eat up your entire crawl budget?
Absolutely. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
An innocent update creates an infinite redirect loop in the background. Or it breaks your meticulously mapped JSON-LD schema.
Oh, man.
And if you aren't doing a quarterly audit, those invisible errors just sit there for months, causing indexing drift and literally bleeding your lead flow dry. A quarterly audit catches the fracture before the whole foundation collapses.
And a major part of that foundation today, and something the audit has to address, is how we actually track success.
Tracking is huge.
Because if we aren't just looking at raw page views anymore, how do we know this technical setup is actually translating to revenue?
Right. You need to prove the ROI.
The article mentions the shift from basic browser tracking to server-side tracking. Why is that distinction so important for a business owner who just wants a dashboard showing I spent X and I made Y?
Well, that dashboard is the holy grail for any CEO.
Of course.
But in 2026, you cannot rely on old-school browser tracking. In the past, you'd put a tracking pixel on your website. When a user loaded your site in their browser, the pixel fired and told Google Analytics what happened.
Yeah, the classic Facebook pixel, all of that.
Exactly. But today, browsers actively block those pixels. Users have incredibly strict privacy settings. Ad blockers are ubiquitous.
Almost everyone has them.
Right. So if you rely on the user's browser to tell you what's happening, you are operating in a black box. You might be missing 30 to 40% of your actual conversion data.
Wow, almost half. So how does server-side tracking solve that?
Instead of relying on the user's fragile browser to report the data, server-side tracking moves that responsibility to your own web server.
Okay, so it happens on your end, not theirs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When a user makes a purchase or fills out a lead form, your server registers that transaction directly and communicates it securely to your analytics dashboard.
Ah, I see.
It bypasses the browser restrictions entirely while remaining fully privacy compliant because you control the data stream.
It's essentially taking ownership of your own data rather than like renting it from third-party cookies.
Exactly. And that ties back to the ultimate goal Ramos highlights, owning your lead flow. If you have a perfectly optimized technical foundation and you have server-side tracking providing perfectly accurate attribution, well, you stop guessing.
You know exactly what's working.
Right. You can definitively map an AI citation all the way through to a closed deal. But you simply can't have that clarity if the technical architecture is broken.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Which really answers the lingering question for anyone who might still be holding on to their legacy strategies. You simply cannot have a high-ranking, highly visible site with poor technical SEO anymore.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you might get lucky once or twice.
Like a viral post or something.
Yeah. You might have a brilliant piece of content go viral and rank briefly. But the AI engines are continuously evaluating reliability. Eventually, a competitor who offers a faster, more structured, and technically superior data feed, they will take your place.
The machines prioritize predictability and efficiency.
Always. Every single time.
So, synthesizing everything we've pulled from Double Dome Digital Marketing today, in an era dominated by AI answer engines and large language models, obsessing over the human-facing aesthetic of your website at the expense of your technical foundation is a massive liability.
A huge risk.
A pretty website with broken cone is just a marble storefront with no front door. If you want to survive the AI slump and become the preferred answer, you have to fix the invisible machine.
You really do.
You have to map your entities with structured schema, optimize your interactivity down to the millisecond, fiercely protect your crawl budget, and monitor the entire system with quarterly audits and server-side tracking.
This raises an important question, honestly.
Yep.
It forces us to completely reevaluate what a website actually is. We are structuring data for machines first and designing visuals for humans second.
And that leads me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. If search engines now parse websites strictly as raw databases, and if AI answer engines are synthesizing and summarizing your content to users before a human ever even clicks a link to visit your URL.
It's a crazy shift.
It is. Are we rapidly approaching a future where human-facing web design becomes entirely irrelevant?
Mm.
Could we see a day where businesses interact with customers almost exclusively through invisible AI to AI data exchanges, leaving those beautiful, highly expensive digital storefronts completely empty? It's a wild thought, but looking at how fiercely these engines prioritize raw data over aesthetics today, it feels like that invisible machine is already running the show.
It really does.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Take a hard look at your own digital foundation, and we will catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.